All right, morning, everyone. Today's daf in Ksivas daf Chaf Aleph. We're in Chaf Amud Beis. We're about to learn a Mishnah together in Oalos, just to continue from where we left off yesterday in the discussion, and then we'll do the Mishnah in Oalos. We'll get to the Mishnah. We'll start the new Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud. First of all, thanks to the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is learned with Zechon Ishmael Sliba Gabriel Bashmuel. Just to review what we saw yesterday, a big discussion yesterday, an interesting discussion about memory. The Gemara says, as far as memory is concerned, memory is an integral part of the Eidus. In order to testify, you have to remember. You're going to come to court, you're going to have to provide testimony of what you saw, eyewitness testimony. So that means, of course, you have to remember what you saw. The Gemara had a very interesting discussion yesterday. What if you write yourself a note? Very often the time, years go by, 5 years, 10 years, decades go by, and the human condition, and that memory decays. So can you write yourself like a little note to help you remember? So the Gemara, in two different versions yesterday, said yes, he can. One was Rav Huna, and the other one was Rav Yochanan. Not two different versions, but two different, I guess we can call them machlokas, but if you remember yesterday, we learned the Braisa, it's a Tosefta, from the second parak of Ksuvos, which is good because that's what we're learning over here in the Mishnayos. The Braisa says Kosev Adam. The Tosefta says Kosev Adam may do Salashtar umed alev afil achakav mashanim. What you could do is you write yourself a little note, and then years later take a look at the note and say, "Oh yeah, I remember." And look at the note. Now I inserted a word into the Braisa, which is "Yeah, I remember." But does that mean that the note is reminding you, or do you yourself have to remember? So if you remember yesterday, if you remember yesterday, the Gemara brought down a machlokas amarayim on this very issue. Rav Huna says that you have to independently remember it aside from the note. I guess the note may be triggering a memory. I'm not exactly sure how to formulate this, but in other words, but it has to be more you than the note. And Rav Yochanan says, no, even if you don't remember it yourself, if the note is really what is guiding you in your memory, so then that's going to be good enough. So Rav Yochanan's position is that the note could be extraordinarily helpful in terms of getting you to remember. Rashi, I didn't read the Rashi yesterday. It's important Rashi, and I'll read it today. And Rashi says, this is still all just a review from yesterday, but it's important. Okay, the Rashi says, Shezorcho, Alpha Pishen Zorcho Meatzmo. The Rashi in the bottom of Chafa Med Aleph, again, I didn't read this yesterday. Elal Acher Sheroe Bishtar, Nasim Belibov Nizkar. Rashi says, according to Rav Yochanan, what did you do? You looked at the note, and then you studied the note, and then what happened is that you remembered. And then, Shalom Nishtachich Memeno Kokach, Shemaskirin Lo Nizkar. Meaning that basically it's recall, right? Recall, it's actually what they call in the world the memory recognition. Meaning that recall means that you just get it straight out of your head. Recognition means that if it's put in front of you, you're like, oh yeah, I recognize it. You know, the difference between a multiple choice test and a fill in the blank. A multiple choice test, meaning the answers are right there. It's just, in other words, and once you see the answer in front of you, oh yeah, I remember. Because that's what's called recognition. So Rashi says, that's basically what we're talking about over here. Aval eno nizko lagamre lo. So, but Rashi writes, on the bottom of Chof HaMenalf, it's an important Rashi, I should have read this yesterday. Rashi writes, but if you don't remember it at all, and all you have is a note in front of you, and really, the honest truth is that I don't remember. The note says it. It must have happened. I wrote the note, but I have no recollection whatsoever. Rashi says, even according to Rav Yochanan, that does not work. That simply will not function as proper edus. Why? Because Rachman Amar Mipim Velo Mipik Savam. Because the Torah says, in order to give testimony, you have to be providing testimony. If the testimony is coming from an external source, i.e., the note that even it was a handwritten note, even though you yourself wrote the note. But if you have no recollection of the note whatsoever, that's not testimony. Testimony means it has to come from you, and it can't come from an external source. That is Rashi from yesterday's daf, which good. So we wrapped it up yesterday by telling over a story with Rav Kahana and Rav Ashi, right? Basically, this discussion of how much of it do you have to remember? So, okay, that was yesterday's daf. I ended off yesterday's daf with a very, very basic question, which Tosos over here discusses. The Tosos that starts on the bottom of Chaf Amud Aleph, and then as you can turn the page, you see it spills well over into Chaf Amud Beis. Tosos' issue is a very simple one. Rashi just quoted a drasha. The Gemara's in Yevamos. So that means that we saw that Gemara not so long ago. Do you remember the Gemara? So, I know, in the topic of memory. Tosfos quotes the Gemara in Yavamos. Rashi does as well. Rashi just did, and the Gemara says that whenever you provide testimony, it has to be mipi hem, velo mipi ksavam. It has to be from your mouth, and it can't be from ksav. It can't be from a written note. So Tosfos basically wonders, well, if that's true, so how do shtaros work? How do documents work altogether? Meaning, we are spending nearly an entire parak of Ksuvos, the second parak, talking about shtaros, talking about documents. What does documents do? So documents basically provide testimony. Meaning, what happens? I go to the borrower and I say, hey, you owe me money. And what do? I take out a note. Note could be 5 years old, could be 10 years old. Witnesses could be dead, which was what we're going to be speaking about later this morning. And yet, what's the note going to be able to do? The note's going to be able to testify that he owes me money. And if the note's testifying that he owes me money, he's going to have to pay me. And as we've discussed time and again throughout Shas, not only is he entitled to get paid, but that note even creates a lien against his properties, so that if he defaults on the loan, so I can go after his properties. So it's a little bit strange that the Gemara over here quite candidly says that testimony, the only valid testimony is verbal testimony that has to come from your own memory, and a self-written note is no good. And meanwhile, we know shtaros are a collectible vehicle. So how do the two go? How do you try to conflate those two seemingly opposing ideas? So Tosfos has a lengthy discussion. Tosfos has a number of approaches. If you just look at the end of Tosfos, meaning on the Amud Beis, at the end of Tosfos, so he quotes the opinion of the Ri. I'm only citing one opinion contained here in Tosfos. There are many others, but for the sake of time and just to get to some of the more interesting parts, but you know, some of the more popular parts of the discussion. Va'oda Marie, so he quotes the Ri, the Lo Be'inan, it's like about halfway down on the page from a Tosfos standpoint. Va'oda Marie, the Lo Be'inan Das, I'm sorry, the Lo Be'inan Das Neim, Vahacha, Hayayochala, Vishtaro, Imaya Kostov, Kitikun Staros, Vahacha, Marisheno Kostov, Keseder Hashtar, Elazichon Dvarim Ba'alma. So basically, the Ri says there's a formal document and there's an informal document. Meaning, shtaros are a formal document. It's a legal vehicle. Meaning that what shtaros do is it creates a binding agreement between two parties. And if it's written as a formal document, so therefore, it is a vehicle that allows you to collect because it's written in a formal manner. Formal manner meaning that you have two parties, each one committing to whatever the document says, and you have two witnesses signing on it, so basically that serves as a formal document. Masha Enkin, when it comes to testimony, if you write an informal note to yourself, you know, hey, remember that such and such a day, so and such happened, that's not a formal document. That can't do anything. There's no two committing parties to this document. So basically the difference is between shtaros and what we're describing is a formal document versus an informal document. More or less, I'm paraphrasing. That's not exactly how Tosfos says it, but I'm paraphrasing just in terms of how to create an understanding of why our Gemara says notes are categorically no good, and meanwhile we have the whole concept of shtaros. Just one other interesting point, and that's the Rambam. The Rambam says that shtaros only work midrabbanan, meaning the Rambam says that to basically get out of this problem of how does our Gemara say that testimony has to be verbal testimony? How can there be such a vehicle as documents? So the Rambam basically writes that shtaros are midrabbanan. It's a rabbinic innovation in terms of two parties of being allowed to collect from one another. Okay.
When Moshe asked was it a written document?
Yeah. So good. So I don't know the answer, but presumably was a verbal agreement that was done in front of witnesses. Not that I know of. So I'm giving you my best guess. Tanan Hassam, we're back to the Gemara. Let's continue now from where we left off yesterday. Just a couple of points regarding shtaros and documents. Tanan Hassam, we're going to learn a Mishnah. It's a challenging Mishnah Nolos that we're about to see right now. And the truth of the matter is that we could spend a lot of time in this Mishnah. We're not. The truth of the matter is that this Mishnah Nolos is just here presented just for one point. And that is a point regarding memory and how long does the memory last. And the Gemara is going to end up saying that the Mishnah Nolos really doesn't speak to the idea of memory as it relates to us. But Tanan Hassan, but here we are learning a Mishnah Nolos together. The Mishnah says, Talulios akrovos, bein liyer bein laderech, echa chadosh v'echa yishanos, temeos. If you have mounds, the word tel is a mound, right? Tel Aviv. Right? The word tell is a mound. So you have little mounds that are next to the city, approximate to the city or to the pathway. Whether they're new or whether they're old. New and old mounds, how do you know? Exactly the point. Meaning, people know. Meaning, people walk down this path all the time, and oh, look at that. That's new. That hasn't been here. That hasn't been there for a while. So whether they're new, whether they're old, so they are tameos. They're going to be tame. Meaning that there's a presumption that there was probably some sort of human remains buried in that mound. That's why there's a mound there. And so therefore, anyone who walks over it is going to be subject to tumas meis. Harichokos. Now let's say that these mounds are not proximate. Not proximate to the city, not proximate to the pathway. Chadashos taharos, if they're totally new mounds, they're tahor, but yishanos, but if they're old mounds, tameos, so because they're old and they've been around for a while and people don't remember, so therefore we're going to suspect that there are human remains over there and therefore they're tummy. Ezu krova, so now the Mishnah is giving definitions. When we say krova, what do we mean? Chamishim amah, we're talking 50 amas. Ve'ezu yishana, and what do we mean by old? Shishim shana, 60 years. 60 years is old. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda amar krova, shein krova imena. So Rabbi Yehuda says, in terms of the definition krova, it's not an objective linear measurement of 50 amas, but krova means it is the closest one to the town. There's not one further away than that. And Yeshana, in terms of old, she'in adam zochra. It simply means that people don't remember. No one remembers where that mound comes from. That's the definition of old. So basically, Rav Yehuda on both points said, I'm not going to give an objective measurement. It's not 60 years and 50 amas in terms of time and length, but it's going to be in terms of length. There's no mound closer. In terms of time, basically up until people remember. Or nobody remembers anymore. My ear, my derech. Now, that's the end of the Mishnah Noelos. We're going to get to the basic point in just a moment of why we brought in this Mishnah Noelos. But as long as we quote the Mishnah Noelos, you know how the Gemara operates. The Gemara does not want to miss an opportunity of just analyzing a little bit the Mishnah Noelos. So my ear, my derech. When we say city, we mean pathway. What do we mean? Elam, my ear, mamish, derech, derech, mamish. Are you supposed to take those words in the Mishnah literally? So misfeka me mechzikin and tumah. Gemara says, this is a strange discussion. There's a mound. It's somewhere proximate to a city. We're going to just assume out of nowhere that there are human remains in that mound? And we don't know. And the default assumption is, yeah, maybe. And somebody walks over there, it's going to be Tameh. Ma'am Reish Lakish, Ila Matsubatara Et Yishon. Reish Lakish says that Ila. Ila means basically an excuse. Meaning it didn't take much when they came back to Eretz Yisrael to find some sort of excuse to be Matar Eretz Yisrael. Excuse, not the best word choice over here, but the basic point is that if we don't know any otherwise, and we can construct an argument in terms of why Eretz Yisrael should be Tahor, the conclusion is Eretz Yisrael is going to be Tahor. Meaning our default assumption is going to be that Eretz Yisrael is Tahor. Done. So why is it that a mound that's either next to the city or next to a pathway our suggestion is that, or our assumption is going to be Tamei? The Gemara says, I don't understand that. I'm Reb Zera, ir iras mucha le besa kvaros, viderach derach besa kvaros. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. When we're saying city, we mean a city proximate to a cemetery. And when we say derech, we mean derech proximate to a cemetery. Okay. And that now helps us understand the Mishnah a little bit better. Now we have a little bit of context to the Mishnah. Now let's explain. So the Gemara says, look, the pathway is next to the cemetery. So what's going to happen is that sometimes you're walking on the road to the cemetery. It's getting dark. So obviously it'd be nice if we got to the cemetery, but it's getting dark, it's getting dangerous. So you use a mound that's proximate to the pathway. Okay. But the Gemara says, but even if the city is next to the cemetery, you don't think there will be a convoy of people going from the city to the cemetery? Why is it that mounds that are proximate to this city that's next to the cemetery is suspected to have human remains? So Amar Rabbi Chanina, so the Gemara gives an explanation over here as well. So the Gemara says, well, there are circumstances where women will bury next to the mound, even though they could have made it to the cemetery. Gemara gives two examples. Rabbi Chanina gives two examples. Number one, a woman, God forbid, she miscarries. She is obviously very distraught over that. So what she'll do is, instead of having a quote-unquote a formal funeral, going to the Beis HaKvaros, so what she'll do is, very privately, she'll go and she'll bury the Nephil in the mound. The Nephil is a mace. It is qualified as halakhically human remains, and therefore is subject to Tumas Mace. So that's one possibility. Gemara says because she's a woman, because she's alone, she's not going to venture that far out, which is now that's how we're going to understand the Mishnah in Olos. The Mishnah in Olos says up to 50 amos, you have to assume that that mound represents human remains. Beyond that, we don't. And now the Gemara giving us the context, the proper context, that we now have a better understanding. What's the difference between 50 versus anything greater than 50? Because women generally, if they're going to be traveling by themselves, they're not going to venture more than 50 amos. If they're going to be with a man, so then they'll go out further and then they'll go to the cemetery. Also, the Gemara gives a second example as well, and that's Mukeshchin. Mukeshchin, those people who are suffering from what we would translate as boils and blisters, but obviously much, much more serious than that. They're losing limbs. They're losing body parts. So the Gemara says they're also going to be burying their body parts, which, by the way, this Gemara, this Mishnah in Olos, and this Gemara's explanation seems to be a very good and clear indication that you need to bury body parts. But, okay, that's topic in of itself. Again, we're only bringing this Mishnah to make one point, which we haven't even made yet. But the Gemara says that's also another example where, again, the people who lost a body part, they're not going to go all the way to the cemetery and bury in the cemetery. They're just going to find a proximate mound to bury their limbs. And, of course, the limbs are human remains, and therefore going to give up to Masoah as well. So, Ad Chamishim Amah Azla Yilachuda Tvei Dabra Inish Ba'da. I read this. So, up to 50 Amahs, she'll go by herself, but if she has a man, so she'll go all the way to the Beis HaKvaros. Hilkach, therefore, Tuma Beretz Yisrael Mechazkinan. Generally speaking, however, we're not machzik Tuma. We don't have an assumption that there's Tuma in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, just the opposite. The assumption is that there's no Tuma in Eretz Yisrael unless we know otherwise. Amar Rav Chisda. Okay, that's the Mishnah in Olos, and that was a very brief explanation of that Mishnah in Olos. I explained it very briefly. But the Gemara is, again, bringing it down here for one reason, and in the context of our discussion, and that is Amar Rav Chisda Shmamin Amar Rabbi Meir Haisadusa Chisin Shanan Midgar. We said that if you remember the mound, so then it is for proximate mounds, whether they are new or old. For distant mounds, so the Mishnah in Olo said that new ones are tahor, but old ones, meaning those that are beyond our memory, are going to be presumed tamei. That's the Mishnah in Olos. What was the definition of old, meaning beyond memory? So Rameir in the Mishnah said 60 years. So Gemara says, good. What do you see? That human memory goes no more than 60 years. That's what the Gemara now wants to adduce from the Mishnah in Olos. The Gemara says, I don't think it's such a great raya. So, Shmami Nami Rabbi Meir, Hai Sadusa, Chisun Shin Midkar. Tfei Lo Midkar, but not more than 60 years. Velohi. But the Gemara says, but that's not true. Hasim Udalo Rami Allah Avahacha, given to Rami Allah Afilusuvanami. Gemara says, there's a difference between giving something your attention versus not giving something your attention. If you give something your attention and you devote your attention to an item, so you can remember it beyond 60 years. The Mishnah Olos is describing a mound, which is part of the scenery of when you walk by, you see it all the time, you pass it all the time. So if it's something which you didn't pay any particular attention to, so the Gemara says that you can't assume beyond 60 years you're going to remember that item. But if you're specific about paying attention to it, so then the memory can go beyond 60 years. Okay, Adkan Divrei HaGemara, that is, and the Mishnah Olos. So again, the Gemara just quoted the Mishnah just to try to show how long a human memory lasts. Gemara thought maybe it only lasts 60 years. The Gemara says not necessarily. Adkan, let's move on. Zeh omar ksav yadi v'zeh omar ksav yad shel chaveri. V'zeh omar zeh ksav yadi v'zeh ksad yado shel chaveri. This Mishnah is a continuation of the discussion of Kiyum Shtaros. Can we just quickly recap the idea of Kiyum Shtaros? You write a shtar, you have a document. Document could be a sale, could be a loan. Whatever binding agreement the document is written about. So you have two witnesses who are going to be signing on the bottom of the document, and that'll give the document its power. Now the document held by the by the note holder. So so he has the ability to collect based on the document and the two signatures on the bottom. The rabbis were concerned that forgery, people are going to sit there and forge documents for signatures. So therefore, the Chachamim required an authentication process, what's called Kiyum Sharos. I know we discussed this already the past couple days. I'm just recapping, so get us ready for this Mishnah. So authentication, Kiyum Sharos, comes in the following manner. We have described and will continue describing three different manners in terms of how to authenticate a document. One, you have the original witnesses coming forward and saying, pointing to the signatures and saying, those are my signatures. Two, you have two other witnesses coming, pointing to the signatures and saying, yes, those signatures are in fact valid signatures. Or three, having another document which was already substantiated, which was already authenticated, and comparing the signatures on this document to the one that the already authenticated document. Those are three different manners of Kiyum Sharos. The court recognizing the signatures, we're going to talk about that later today. Okay, up until now we haven't mentioned that, so it's okay. You have inside information. But we're going to come back to that later today. The Mishnah over here describes now the first the method of certification, and that is where the original witnesses themselves come and they testify. Okay, how do you think that goes? How do you think that works? So without a Mishnah, if you would have asked me, I would have said, again, we're talking about the two original witnesses who signed on the document. So each one would point to their signature. And if I signed on the document together with the other Ben, so if the two Ben signed on the document, I'd point to my signature, which has now evolved into a scribble. And Ben, yours is better? Or?
Not much.
So we both point to our scribbles, and we point to it and say, yep, that's mine. And Ben points to his and says, that's mine. And you and I would guess that's how authentication works. As we're about to learn in the Mishnah, that is insufficient. That doesn't work according to one opinion. Happens to be an opinion. We don't hold the halacha, but that doesn't work according to our Mishnah. So what does our Mishnah say? Let's go reread the first part of the Mishnah. Zeomer ksav yadi v'zeh ksav yado. So I have to come in and I have to point to my signature and say that's mine, and I have to point to Ben's signature. Sorry to use such a confusing example. And I have to point to Ben's signature and I have to say that's his as well. And then v'zeomer zeh ksav yadi v'zeh ksav yado shel chavero. And then Ben comes forward and he says, yeah, I recognize my signature, I recognize his signature, and both of us have to authenticate both ours and the other signature. Divrei, I'm sorry, Shel Chaver, Hare Elu Ne'emanim. Under these circumstances, they are going to be believed. Zeomer Zek Sav Yadi, Zeomer Zek Sav Yadi. However, if all I can come forward and say is, that's my signature. I never saw Ben sign. I don't know what it looks like. And Ben comes forward and says, I don't know his signature. I know my signature. I don't know his. So tzrichim lefsarif imahim acher. So then, what we need over here is another witness to come and to testify. And that third witness is going to say, I know Sugarman's signature. I know Sakaku's signature. Here, let me see him. Yep. And according to the first opinion in the Mishnah, which now let's read, Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe Yehuda Nasi's opinion is that you need two witnesses authenticating each signature. Okay, so, according to Rebbe, it can either be Ben and I be the only two witnesses, but each one of us authenticating each signature, or I'll authenticate mine together with another witness, and Ben authenticate his, and he can even borrow that same witness. Divrei Rebbe, this is Rebbe's opinion. We'll explain Rebbe's opinion in just a moment. Let's first go over the Chachamim's opinion. So the Chachamim say it's unnecessary, meaning the way I intuitively projected how this authentication process would work is basically what the Chachamim say. I'll come in, I'll say, that's my signature. Ben will come in and say, that's my signature. Obviously, we're doing it in front of Beis Din. Beis Din is going to write the seal of Beis Din, what's called the henpek, or we'll talk later on this morning about exactly the process of them actually signing, authenticating it, the text, the actual gears of what they're going to write when they authenticate it. But in the meantime, however, the Chachamim say that's all you need. I validate my signature, Ben validates his, and that's it. Now, Kishatim Selamar, we go right to the Gemara. Now, the Gemara is going to explain what is that issue over here between Rebbe and the Chachamim is a very basic issue. We are talking about Kiyum Shtaris, and now, after having spoken about it for a number of days, we cut into a core issue of what really is authentication. What are we coming to authenticate? Kishatim salam ala divrei Rabbi Aksav Yadami me'idim, the divrei Chachamim almane shebishtar he me'idim. Gemara says beautifully, very succinctly, that what is that issue over here in the Mishnah between Rabbi and the Chachamim is, what is the authentication process actually authenticating? Rabbi says, the only thing we're authenticating is the actual signatures. We are not right now interested in the content of the note. Whatever A is owing B, or A sold to B, or whatever is the contents of the note, that's not what we're authenticating. We're authenticating the signatures. There are two signatures. Both of them need authentication. So therefore, according to Rabbi, one signature needs kiyum. Well, how are you mekayim? With two witnesses. So according to Rabbi, so you need two witnesses on signature A, and you need two signatures on signature B. Now it happens to be, it could be, like in the Mishnah's example, that we're going to use the same two witnesses, but obviously that's only going to work if both witnesses recognize both signatures. But according to Rabbi, that's what we're validating. That's what we're authenticating. According to the Chachamim, no. The authentication isn't really going on the signatures. What the authentication is authenticating is the content of the document. That's what they're authenticating. So, basically, what's happening? I'm coming in and saying, yeah, that's my signature. It's true that I'm agreeing that that's my signature. But what's really happening, according to the Chachamim, is I'm really validating the contents of the document. And when Ben comes in and he says, yeah, I'm authenticating my signature, what he's really doing is he's authenticating the contents of the document. So, if we're not focusing on the signatures, we're focusing on the document, well, how many witnesses do you need for the document? Two. Which is exactly what you have. You have myself and Ben, both of us authenticating the document. Perfect. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. So really, there's a basic machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim in terms of what is being accomplished with Kiyum Shtaris. Are we authenticating the signatures? Are we authenticating the documents?
So by the sages, or by Chachamim, there's only the first original witnesses can
okay, good. So, right.
Else would know if they read the content.
Very good. Meaning the other methods of authentication, right, when you have, let's say, Acherim coming to authenticate the signatures, or you have
a comparative
document. All right, so we'll come back to that. That's an excellent point. We'll come back to that point. Okay.
Even if one of the original dies, then there would be no way of...
We're going to discuss that as well. Okay, just give it a moment. We're going to discuss. So the Gemara's reaction to this explanation, there's a beautiful explanation. So the Gemara's reaction is pshita. Oh, that's obvious. Meaning, you read the Mishnah, you think about it a little bit, and that's the right conclusion. What else did you think? So the Gemara says, Mao detame, the Gemara says, I might have thought as follows. L'Rebbe, sefuki mesafkele. Iyal ksav yadame me'idim. So the Gemara says, look, if all I had was a Mishnah, I would not have necessarily known that Rebbe was so cut and dry in this issue. What you could have argued is that maybe Rebbe didn't know. Meaning Rebbe himself was at a point of suffix. Maybe we're authenticating the signatures, maybe we're authenticating the content of the document. So you know what? Let's just play both sides of this. How do we play both sides? What we'll do is we'll have two witnesses come and testify in each signature. And then, mimanafshach, either way. If we're authenticating signatures, check. If we're authenticating the document, well, we got two more witnesses than we actually needed, but so what? Check. Meaning, from the Mishnah itself, I may not have necessarily known that Rebbe was all about the validation of the signatures. Maybe he just simply was playing it safe and he didn't necessarily take a stand on this issue. From the Chachamim's perspective, it's clear, because the Chachamim say one witness authenticating one signature, another witness authenticating the other signature. Clearly, they're not authenticating the signatures, because each signature would need two witnesses. Clearly, according to the Chachamim, what they're testifying is about the content of the document. So from the Chachamim standpoint, we have no doubt. But according to Rabbi, we have a doubt. V'nafkamina, and the Gemara says, now, if we were unsure about Rebbe's position, and we didn't state it clearly that Rebbe was about authenticating the signatures, and he vacillated between these two opinions. Gemara says there'd be a nafkamina, there'd be a practical difference. What is the practical difference? Echad meischad minayu. So let's say one of the witnesses died. I'm going to need two other witnesses to testify. Because what's going to end up happening is that three quarters of the document will be extracted through one witness. I'm sorry, through one witness. And therefore I should be machmir for both sides. Kamash malan. Let's understand this a little bit better. What is the problem with... one of the witnesses dies, and we were unsure about Rebbe's position. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi frames exactly what's that issue over here. Rashi and Afkamina, I'm reading. Okay. Let's say one of the witnesses died, who signed on the document. So now, what do I need? So I need authentication of his signature, and now what I need is to authenticate his signature. The ains that kasher la'idak sav yado v'al shel chavero ulitzarv echad imo sheyid al shteihem. So, and then what's going to happen is that one of the witnesses who are alive is going to come forward. He's going to testify about his signature together with the other signature. The dilma amanish shebishtar hemi'idim, because maybe consider the following. Again, this is all assuming that Rebbe was unsure. And Rebbe could have gone either way. So now you have to take both possibilities into consideration. Either they're testifying about the signatures, or they're testifying about the content of the document. V'chi omer zeksav yadi. So now, if the surviving witness is testifying about his signature, so that means already now, and it's going on the content of the document, so that now means that 50% of the obligation is already resting on his shoulders. Savyadi nafik pagda mamona pume. Vizeshim edimo achasima so lomala velomorid. Then it's sarichlo. And the one who's testifying together with him, he's not necessary, he's not needed if they're testifying about the content. Vichyadam it starif im hahu minashuklaid achasima sameis. So now, let's say that he joins together with the other to testify about the other signature. So now, right now, we're only talking about, we have two people testifying. The surviving witness and one other. The two of them are testifying about his signature, although, if they're talking about the content, I don't need the outsider. And then when they turn to the other signature and they're testifying about the other signature, what's happening now? Hadar nafik riva de mamona pumei. The surviving witness now is going to be 50% responsible on the other signature. 50% of 50%, that's 25%. And ashtakach dekula mamona nechi riva nafik apumei. That means now that in terms of witnesses, he's no longer 50% witness now. He's 75% witness. The anan apishnaim edim beinan chati davar apiv shalzeh v'chati davar apiv shalzeh. And Rashi explains beautifully that when you need two witnesses, it's not just that you need two witnesses in order to obligate somebody to pay somebody money. It's that the two witnesses have to have an equal distribution of the obligation on each shoulder. Meaning, each of the two witnesses have to represent 50% of the testimony. And therefore, hilkach nibai trei. That's why, for the other signature, I would need to take two outsiders to testify about the other signature. Because maybe Rebbe was unsure as to whether they're testifying about the signature or they're testifying about the contents. If the both of them are surviving, they both have to testify about each other's. But if one of them died, that's why we need two outsiders to come and testify by the other signature. Okay, good. And Rashi goes on to illustrate this further. But again, if we were unsure about Rebbe's position and one of the witnesses died, we would by force have to get two outsiders to come. Because if we don't get two outsiders to come to testify about his signature, then that one surviving witness who testifies about both his and the others would then be shouldering 75% of the obligation of that note, and that's not how two witnesses work. They have to have an equal distribution.
But the thing is, if you get two other outside witnesses, then it would be 30%, you know?
No, in other words, those two outside, in other words, again, let's play both sides of this. If they're testifying about the signatures, good. He's testifying about his own, perfect, and he doesn't... I'm sorry. If they're testifying about the signatures, so then he and the other is testifying about his, and the two outsiders are testifying about the other. Fine. If they're testifying about the content, so then he's solely responsible for the content as to what he signed, and the two others are going to be testifying about the signature, which is in essence testifying about the content.
You're saying one is a verification of the content, one is a verification of signature.
No, we're just playing. In other words, at this point, we're not mixing and matching. We're just simply playing both sides. Right now, the Gemara is suggesting that Rebbe was unsure. What the Gemara is concluding is that no, that's not the case. Rebbe is sure. Rebbe is sure that what we're really testifying is about the signatures, not about the content. Okay.
Question.
Yeah.
Two witnesses.
I'm sorry. I'm confused.
Well, in the ketubah, you're going to have a distribution in case somebody dies. If he has a will to accomplish the same thing, he doesn't even need.
I'll tell you what. Ask me about the will. Ask me after. Let's just deal with the Gemara in hand. Okay, so the Rebbe, so the Gemara says, so that's the Chiddush. The Rebbe mifsha pshita lei ben lekula ben lechumra. So the Gemara says that the Chiddush is that no, Rebbe is absolutely sure that what we're testifying is not about the content, but about the signatures. Two witnesses per signature. And that means that if one of the witnesses died, so then you need two outsiders. Two outsiders to come and testify. And in this regard, Rebbe comes out to be a leniency and the rabbis come out to be a stringency. So the Gemara says, and that means as follows. So let's say now that one of the witnesses died. One of the original witnesses died. And now we're looking from the Chachamim's standpoint. And again, according to the Chachamim, what do I need? I need authentication. But again, according to the Chachamim, what are we coming to authenticate? We're coming to authenticate the content of the document. So that means then that I just need two witnesses to come and verify that these signatures are in fact valid. I don't need two for each signature, I just need two. But now one of the witnesses died. So what do I need now? I need two other witnesses to come and to testify about the surviving, I'm sorry, not about the surviving, about the dead witness. So the Gemara says, and what if? And what if you don't have two? Meaning, according to the Chachamim, it's going to be very strange. We have a situation where a shtar was written, kedas kedin, perfectly legitimate. And you had two witnesses signed on it. And now one of them died. And now because of this authentication process, and let's remind each other, the authentication process, kiyum shtaris, is a din derabanan. It's a safeguard measure. But can you imagine, however, that this safeguard measure now is going to arrive at a conclusion where they're unable to collect simply because we can't find two people to come and authenticate that signature of the one who died? Gemara says that's very strange to imagine. Now, sometimes when you... first of all, it's very strange to imagine. You know, I don't know what your password preferences are for, you know, to get into your email and all your other sensitive material. But if you, like, you use a lot of different passwords, so that's exactly what happens. Your security measures are basically going to prevent you from getting in if you can't remember. So over here... It could very well be, meaning it's a security measurement that was instituted by the Chachamim to safeguard the authenticity of the signatures. And sometimes, you're right, sometimes it's password protected and you simply can't use the shtar. But the Gemara just can't even entertain that idea. That we're going to arrive at a conclusion where we have a document, it's good, because of this rabbinic level of security of what's called Kiyum Shtaros, you're not going to be able to collect. It's hard to imagine. So my Amar Rabbi lichtov chasimus yadei chaspa. So the Gemara says, here's what you do. What you'll do is that you will write your own signature on a shard, on a pottery shard. V'shadilei bebe dina, So here's what you'll do. What you'll do is you'll sign your own signature, meaning the surviving witness, obviously, on a piece of shard. You'll submit that to Beis Din. Beis Din will look at that signature, compare it to your signature. Good. Your signature has now been validated, and you didn't need to testify. Because, compared to another signature, one that you happen to sign yourself. Now you and the only other person you could find to recognize the other signature, and you'll testify about the other signature. Okay, good. Gemara says that will be your solution to what if you can't find two other people that will be able to validate the other signature.
How do you verify the content in this case?
Hmm?
If it's according to the Rabbanim, how do you verify the content? Yes. They're verifying the signature right now.
Well, right now, again, so you're right. You're verifying the signature, but really what that does is it gets you, it's a signature that gets you to the content. Meaning basically by the validation of the signature, you're validating the content through the signature. So now what you need is, you need two witnesses.
How's that different from
what's the difference between this and Rebbe?
Rebbe says you need two witnesses for each.
For signatures.
Right, correct.
So the rabbis are asking for the signatures also, but then because the signatures were validated, so the content, there is no way that two other witnesses would know that the first witness read the content.
Right, but according to the Chachamim, you need, when all said and done, you need two witnesses. Okay, either the original two, and each one will be testifying by their own signature, or any other two.
Right.
Right, but in other words, but you don't need, according to Rebbe, you need a grand total of four. You need four witnesses, or two doubling up, according to Rebbe. According to the Chachamim, that's not necessary. According to Chachamim, you only need two. Problem over here is that one of the witnesses died. So now I'm going to need two people to verify the other person's signature. If he were alive, so he'd be verifying his own signature, great. But now he's dead. So I need two other people to validate and verify his own signature.
The question is, how do you get from the signature to the content? You're just, everybody's validating the signature. How could they say that the content is right? Because they have to read the mind without being able to see that this the first two witnesses actually read the document.
Right. I do understand your point. The idea is that when you're validating the signature, it's really a signature
verifying content.
It's not, because according to Rebbe, I need two separate witnesses for each signature. Meaning, if you asked Rebbe, let's see if I can explain this well. If you asked Rebbe, meaning what is the witness is coming to testify about? From the top of the page all the way down to almost near the bottom, from Rebbe's standpoint, that's all nice, but Rebbe says what they're really testifying about is signatures. And because they're testifying about his signatures, two witnesses are coming and testifying about each signature. Each signature is its own separate case, so to say. And so the two sets are now coming and saying, do you know this one? So the two are saying, yes, we know this one. Now, if they happen to recognize the other signature, they can also serve as the two witnesses for the other signature as well. But really, what they're coming and doing is, each signature is its own separate case. Okay? According to Rabbi, I sometimes will have four witnesses. Two on one and two on the other. According to the Chachamim, they're validating the signatures, but that's not two separate cases. I'm testifying on the signatures to get me to the content. If I have the original signature, it's perfect. So in other words, that's my signature that gets me to the content, and the other saying that's my signature that gets me to the content. Okay. Now, one of them died, so now according to the Chachamim, so now I need to validate. Now, validation means I need to get to the content. How am I going to get to the content? Well, I need to get to the content by having two witnesses to get me to the content. Now, if two witnesses recognize the two, so you're right. So then I wouldn't see the difference between Rebbe and the Chachamim. But let's say I only have one person recognizing the other signature, the one who died. Now what? According to the Chachamim, I'm going to need two witnesses to validate the other signature. The problem is, according to the Chachamim, I got one validating the surviving witness validating his own, and validating the other. All that's getting me to the content. That one surviving witness, he's now shouldering how much of that content? More than 50%. That his own signature, which he validated, that's strictly him. And then the other signature now that he's validating, that's going to be half him and half the other. Because he's not really validating the signature, he's getting me to the content. Okay. And now that one with that one surviving witness is getting me to the content. So now he's shouldering 75% of that responsibility. Right. Okay.
Like a notary just looking for the signature.
Right. Okay. Correct. The notary. Notaries are just worried about signatures. Strictly signature.
You can only collect 75%?
No. You just, in other words, in the world of Eidos, you just cannot do that. You cannot have one witness being more than 50% responsible or, you know, connected, so to say, with the authenticity of the document.
Is that the condition that one witness with definiteness is a signature and the other signature?
Right. So then the Gemara says, okay, now in a scenario where one witness died and I don't have two other people who can validate the signature, now what do I do? So the Gemara gave us a solution, right? A creative solution. And that is, the one witness who it survived, let him sign. Let Beis Din authenticate now his signature. So he didn't, I know this is strange, this part is strange, he didn't take the responsibility for his own signature. Beis Din did that. And now he can come in and he can validate now the other signature. Okay.
In case of Rabbeim saying that he can verify his own, right? But more than less than 50%. I'm verifying the. So you only need one more witness for the signature, because he's one witness and right. There's another witness. There was only right.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's finish up. Let's finish up, and then I'll more than free to talk about it after. So the Gemara says. So ilech lechasim asyadei chasma v'shadle bebeginu machzilei bedino v'lo tzarchilo asyadei chasim asyadei v'azoliu v'hayom asyadei aidach v'da. Okay, I'm sorry, aidach, good. So the Gemara says that'll be your creative solution to allow authentication to occur. V'davka achasma. And the Gemara says, and cautionary note, when you're having the surviving witness sign, make sure he signs on a shard. Ava megilta lo. But don't have him sign on the bottom of a piece of paper. That's the Gemara is just giving like just basic common sense reason, because because what's going to end up happening is an unscrupulous person is going to find a piece of paper with your signature signed on the bottom, and is going to basically enjoy to write anything he wants. You know, it's like signing a check, you know, without filling in the rest of the check. So you give it to somebody who you know and you trust. That's great, but caution. Obviously, somebody unscrupulous is going to get their hands on it and write whatever they want. Utanan, and we learned in the Mishnah. If you write a note saying I owe you money, right, the original I owe you, and with the words me I owe you money, and even if you don't have witnesses signing on it, but it's your handwriting and you sign on the bottom, that is a collectible vehicle. Now it's not a shtar. It doesn't allow you to collect from nechasim mishubadim. It doesn't create an encumbrance on property, but it's still it's a legal vehicle. Okay, good. After all said and done, now who does Allah Chafal like? Meaning, we have a machlokus between Rebbe and the Chachamim and the Mishnah. When they're coming to testify, are they testifying about the signatures? Are they testifying about the document? Machlokus. Who do we go like? We go like the Chachamim. To which the Gemara's response is, of course. Pshita, Yachav Rabbi Malachik Rabbi Ma'av Detem Malachik Rabbi Mechaveirav, Ve'afilo Mechaveirav. Kamash Malan. The Gemara says, look, it's not just anybody. I mean, we could say this about any Tana, but it's not just anybody. It's Rebbe. And I know the halacha, whenever Rebbe has a machlokus with another Tana, so then Rebbe's going to win. Winning is not the best way to say it, but in other words, the halacha is going to fall like Rebbe. The havamin is that I might have thought that. And our Mishnah, I know it's a Chachamim arguing against Rebbe, but it's Rebbe. So the Gemara says that's a Chiddush. Siman Nachnad Chad. Okay? Amalei Rav China Bar Chila Rav Yehuda Amila Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Rav Yehuda Amila Rav Chia Bar Yehuda Rav Yehuda Mi Amashmo Achiva Ha Ha Ushtar Danafik Maybe Dan Damashmo Vavik Siv Bay Mida Asra Rav Ana Bar Chia Vaser Achasim Asyade. The Gemara says there was a document. And on this document, it was written. That Rav Anan Bar Chiya came in and he testified on the signatures va'adacha da'ame and on the other signature as well. Umanu Rav Chanan Bar Rava umidasu Rav Chanan Bar Rava va'asid adachasim asyadei va'adacha da'ame umanu Rav Anan Bar Chiya. So what happened is that the two rabbis came forward and they testified about their signature and their colleague's signature. Ashrina va'kemina kidachazi. And we were ma'ashir. We certified. So Amalei Ushtara Diyasme Hava Vechashmula Beisin Toin. So the Gemara says, well, over there, that was a document that belonged to a yasum, to an orphan. And Shmuel was concerned, the Beisin Toin. Vesav Shmuel Dilma Ika Desvir Le Dalacha Karebi Mechavero Velo Mechaverav. And he was worried that that Beis Din may take into consideration the Dalacha falls like Rebbe. Uvahafil mechavero suffer avid ravcha keheched olamavsed yasme. And so therefore he thought that Shmuel put an extra safeguard in the document to make sure. In other words, really the henpeck, the certification didn't need to say that he validated his own signature and his colleague's signature. That's true. But the reason why Shmuel constructed this henpeck and wrote the henpeck in the following manner is because he was worried that this document will be taken to another basin. That other basin, like the Gemara just thought, maybe the halakha falls like Rebbe, and maybe that other basin will not collect on behalf of the orphans because they thought the halakha falls like Rebbe. So Shmuel, just as an extra measure of protection for the orphans, said, you know what, I'm going to write this henpeck even though it's above and beyond the letter of the law, just so that nobody thinks that the halacha falls like Rebbe. Let's just finish to the bottom of the Yamud. Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmul Ad Avidai Mitzarfin. A witness and a judge can combine. Amar Rami Bar Chama Kamamal Yahashmait. Rami Bar Chama thought, fantastic. Like, that's great. He's right. Amar Rav Amai Mal Yusa. So Rav says, I don't understand what's right about that. My Dekamasit Sahada Loka Misadayana. Or My Dekamasit Dayana Loka Masit Sahade. I understand, a judge and a witness have two different roles. The witness's job is to testify. The judge's job is to receive the testimony. I don't understand how they can combine. What are we talking about? El Kiyas Rami Bar Cheska Amar Lo Titzaisina Lani Klali Dekal Yehuda Achim Ishmei Deshmol. Rami Bar Cheska says, my brother Yehuda, right, they are quoted often as a pair. So he says, don't listen to my brother Yehuda on the matters that he's quoting in front in the name of Shmuel. He says that we cannot have a witness and a judge combined. Tomorrow we start with the top of the Amud, and we'll talk about how in certain circumstances a witness can serve as a judge, but that'll be tomorrow's discussion. Again, today we continue our discussion of Kiyum Shtaros, and we got involved in a basic machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. When we're having certification, are they testifying about the signatures or are they testifying about the content? There's going to be two nafkamins that we spoke about, where Rebbe comes out to be in one case Mekel, in the other case Machmir. Same with the Chachamim. And then a discussion, which will continue tomorrow, in terms of whether or not we can switch the roles of witnesses and judges.